Our topic during this portion of Vocal Point is abortion and the coronavirus. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is Micaiah Bilger, who writes excellent articles for lifenews.com. And Micaiah, it's great to have you back on the program.
Thanks for having me back. It's always a pleasure.
Okay, sure. I want to read this little introduction I've written. The priorities of many states and cities have been seen during the coronavirus. Virtually all states have not allowed church services, understandably, lest the worshipers get infected. But at the same time, these same states, or some of them, have allowed abortion services to go on as in normal times. Abortion has been defined, as in some states, as being, quote-unquote, essential service. Micaiah Bilger, a writer with Life News, wrote an article recently on at-home abortions during this crisis. She notes one anonymous mother told the New York Times that the abortion group provided just everything you could need. It was so comforting to be able to abort her unborn baby at home. So, Micaiah, I want you to comment about abortion and this whole virus crisis, the national lockdown, et cetera.
Sure. What really strikes me is that we're doing so much right now. Our leaders are doing so much to save lives from the coronavirus. Meanwhile, the abortion industry continues pushing, destroying lives of our most innocent unborn children, and some of our own leaders are going along with that and allowing that to continue even while they're saying that they're trying to save lives. It's really, hypocrisy to see this. There have been a number of state governors who have stood up and tried to say, no, abortions are elective. Abortions are, according to people who advocate for them, a choice. And therefore, we're restricting a lot of other elective procedures. Abortion should be, too. Unfortunately, the abortion industry took them to court, and for the most part, these states are being forced to continue allowing elective abortions, even while other people are waiting, having like hip surgeries be postponed, even cancer treatments being postponed. It's really vile, the abortion industry and those who support it, how they're insisting that killing babies is essential.
Wow, you're right. It is vile. Okay, tell us about at-home abortions, teleabortion experiments. What does this mean?
Sure. A teleabortion, it's not new, but it is a growing, it's really growing as our country is pursuing telemedicine, which is really reducing contact. So people don't have to go to the doctor's office so much for things that, can be done over the phone or over a web video. The abortion industry has been trying for years to expand abortions through abortion drugs, through telemedicine, and they're using, really exploiting the coronavirus to do this. What a teleabortion is it involves abortion drugs that women take up to 10 weeks of pregnancy. Usually, rather than meeting with an abortion doctor in person, a woman goes to maybe a satellite facility where she never sees a doctor, and just meets with that doctor over a webcam. And the doctor talks with her for minutes, and then sometimes there's a remote-controlled door or a nurse or someone else who gives her those drugs, sends her home, and then her she takes those drugs and passes her dead baby at home.
So there is physical contact in the sense of like a drive-through fast food place. She would go to the facility to get her take at home package. By the way, wasn't there something like that in Unplanned? And wasn't there that horrific scene where the character representing Abby Johnson did some sort of stay-at-home abortion? And it was a horrible experience. She was just bleeding there on the bathroom floor. It's like, she almost wished she had died rather than go through that. And you don't see that part of it other than, you know, in movies like that.
Mm-hmm. That was such a powerful scene. It was just really heart-wrenching to watch that.
I think that's why they made it rated R, because of that scene. Yeah.
Yeah, from what I understand. Now, as far as women going to a clinic still to get these drugs and being checked out, the abortion industry is trying to eliminate even that very limited exam. What I wrote about in my at-home abortion article is that there's an experiment right now. It was approved by the Food and Drug Administration, I believe under Obama, where women never even necessarily have to go to a clinic to get an ultrasound or even a test to determine, you know, just to be checked out, which is important. In some cases, these women are just meeting with a doctor over a webcam from their homes. The ultrasound exam requirements are being waived in some cases, and the doctor just mails the abortion drugs to them. So there's an increasing push for absolutely zero contact between the woman and the doctor, in-person contact.
Yeah.
So it's basically just, you know, mail order abortions, and that's what they're pushing. So it's really disturbing. They're claiming that this is for good because of the coronavirus, and they're trying to, you know, eliminate in-person contact. But these abortion drugs are very dangerous, not just for the baby, but also for the mom. And a basic exam like an ultrasound is important because these drugs don't work well, don't kill the baby very well if a woman's fairly far along in her pregnancy. So an exam's needed to tell, you know, how far along she is. Exams can also help detect if she has an ectopic pregnancy. Even though it's fairly rare, ectopic pregnancies can be deadly if they're not detected, and especially so if the woman takes these drugs and that's not detected. So it's really, they're not just putting babies' lives at risk, they're putting women's lives at risk too. They claim they care about women, they claim they want to help women, but they're not. They're abandoning, you know, just basic common sense health and safety standards in pushing abortion.
You know, you mentioned in that article in lifenews.com that there was a study reported from 2009 which found a complication rate of approximately 20% for the abortion drugs compared to 5.6% for surgical abortions. So as much as we think about complications that can occur from abortion, and we hear about the ambulances that go to the abortion clinic, and you never hear further about it, you know, even though these kinds of things happen, sadly, you know, a woman goes in and she gets in a botched abortion, she has to go to the hospital, and of course, if she dies and bleeds to death, heaven forbid, but it happens, they never count that as a death related to abortion. But as many as those complications happen, you're saying that with the drugs, it's 20% versus 6% almost. So in other words, it's an even higher percentage of complications that can occur. For example, what do you mean?
Yes, exactly. There's a number of different risks, and according to the FDA, there's been at least 24 women have died, and more than 4,000 have experienced serious complications. Now, those numbers are from a few years back. I'm thinking maybe 2012 or 15. So there are probably many more. Likely that scene for those who have seen Unplanned, there's excessive bleeding. It's kind of similar in ways to a miscarriage, and I hate to use that comparison because a miscarriage is a loss of a baby that's unintended, whereas an abortion kills the baby. There's difference in intent, but it's similar in that, you know, there's excessive bleeding. There can be lead to infection if the baby is not expelled. The drugs kill the baby. They don't always. Sometimes the baby stays inside, can lead to infection, hemorrhage. again, women have died from after taking these drugs. They're very dangerous, and we may never know exactly how many women have suffered after taking these and how many babies have died, but it's a lot.
When you mentioned miscarriages, miscarriages used to be called, quote-unquote, spontaneous abortions. I mean, that was the term for it. But when abortion became legalized in 1973 through the Supreme Court decision of Roe v. Wade, there's been an explosion, really, of the number of abortions. Ronald Reagan, who ended up becoming a very pro-life man as president and so forth, unfortunately, as the governor of California, he signed one of the first liberal abortion laws, not expecting it to be something where abortion was almost a form of birth control. You know, oh, this didn't work. Okay, so now we'll just abort the results of this, and later became pro-life, and God bless him for that. You know, even President Trump used to, I've seen a little clip from Larry King Live where he said about 20 years ago or something like, I'm as pro-choice as anybody can be. You know, I'm pro-choice in every way you can imagine. Well, thank God he's changed because, yeah, you know, that's a big difference. Now, in your article, going back to tele-abortion, you said that the number of abortion mailings has gone out is increasing. So, for example, 841 packages of abortion drugs to women just since April 22. Wow.
Yeah, it's a lot. I believe those numbers are being reported to the Centers for Disease Control, which keeps track of abortions. But we'll see. There have been a lot of articles in the mainstream media saying that, suggesting that abortions are up right now, that many women, you know, because of the crisis, because of being worried about, you know, our country and the coronavirus and other things, people being out of work, that more women are seeking abortions. It's hard to tell that because that's the mainstream media narrative, but we're also hearing from pregnancy centers and maternity homes and others who are serving pregnant and parenting moms, and they're saying they're getting a lot of a huge increase in women seeking help too. Only time will tell how many how many lives are being lost right now to abortion, but the abortion industry really plays off of crises. They take advantage of women who are afraid, girls who are afraid and unsure what to do, and tell them the best thing you can do is just, you know, kill your own child. Give us money, we'll kill your child, your problem will go away. Abortion is not a solution. It doesn't end a crisis. It, kills a life and then just sends the woman back to deal with, you know, that the continued crisis on her own. It doesn't end poverty. It doesn't end abuse. It just continues the crisis by ending a life. So
it creates a new crisis.
Yes. Yeah. So pro-lifers are doing a lot. It's encouraging to see that there's so much need and so many women reaching out to pregnancy centers. I heard too that there's the abortion pill reversal procedure, which actually reverses these drugs that are taken in these at-home tele-abortions. There's been an increase in that hotline for women seeking to reverse these drugs and try to save their babies' lives. So it's not all doom and gloom. There's signs of hope that pro-lifers are doing a lot to help these women in times of crisis. Providing diapers, providing abortion pill reversals, and so much more. So, we'll see what the numbers are. But I always like to, encourage people that there's hope and people are, choosing life for their babies. We just need to keep on reaching out to these moms and babies because they're looking for help. And when they get it, they often choose life.
All right. We'll have to end on that note. Lifenews.com for more information. Micaiah Bilger, thanks so much for being with us. All the best.
Thank you.